This is episode 6 of Flynn. It's called The Stalker.
I don't pretend to be an expert on women's moods. But up until a week ago, I thought Willie and I had a good thing going. We were seeing each other pretty regularly, both at the law firm and in our spare time. Then suddenly, what was hot was not. Maybe it was something I said, I don't know. She wouldn't talk about it. And that made me a little crazy.
Hello, this is Sam Green. Has my niece left the courthouse yet?
An hour and a half ago.
No, nothing wrong. Just got her wires crossed, I guess. Thanks, George. Willie's been acting strange lately. Do you two have a spat?
No. But we might as well have, the way she's giving me the cold shoulder.
With me, it's a silent treatment. Yeah. Like talking to a dead goldfish.
She wouldn't be thinking about going back to Toronto, would she?
Well, if she is news to me.
Oh. Yo, courier delivery.
Oh.
Hey, Mr. Sam. Flynn.
How you doing, Tommy?
Hey, it looks like something from the States. Looks like a book.
I got you working pretty late.
Personal service. Beats the facts every time. Hey, Miss Green here?
No, not yet. I'll sign for it.
All right.
There you are.
Hey, Flynn.
Yeah?
You got a great trick when you're process serving.
What?
Okay, well, you got a summons for a guy, but he's kind of antsy, right?
Yeah.
So you put the envelope with the summons underneath a courier pouch, like FedEx or DHL, something easy to read. Then you ask for Mr. Smith or whatever.
Uh-huh.
He thinks he's getting a special delivery, and he signs for it. Then you slip him the summons, and you're out of there before he knows what hit him.
The old bait-and-switch routine. You better count your fingers after shaking this kid's hand, Sam.
Yeah, I thought you were a bicycle courier. When did you branch out?
Well, process serving? I help out a friend now and then.
Well, you're pressing your luck, aren't you?
Well, who knows? Anyway, have to practice up. I'm going to take your job away from you.
Oh, hey, I'm worried.
All right, see you guys.
Yeah, well, not if we see you first.
Take it easy, Tommy. Tommy Randall, 18-year-old high school dropout. Not a bad kid, in small doses. Willie bailed him out of trouble 6 months ago and talked him into getting his high school equivalency. Now he has dreams of joining the firm.
I guess I shouldn't have opened this. It doesn't look like business.
Oh, is it?
Instruction book on Oriental kickboxing. What the hell's that all about?
Look, there's an invoice for Willie. She's getting 10% off as a member of the Barlock Gym.
Barlock Gym?
Yes, it's down on East Hastings, but it's an okay place.
I don't care what kind of place it is. I want you to go over there, pick her up, and find out what's going on.
What a turnaround. A couple of months ago, Sam was looking for ways to get rid of Willie. Now he was acting like an overly protective father. And where did that leave me? Looking like a lovesick jerk, that's where. I was still trying to sort out my mixed feelings as I climbed up the stairs to the gym. The Barlock Gym was small by big city standards. It used to be a martial arts hangout, but now catered to several disciplines. A couple of young boxers were working out in the ring. Others were hammering the big bag and rope skipping. At the dimly lit far end of the gym, a couple of figures in black were into some serious sparring. The glove work was impressive, but it was the kickboxing that implied serious intent. As I got closer, I realized one of the fighters was Willie.
Flynn! What are you doing here?
Sam thought you might need a ride home.
Since when do I need a nanny?
Come on, Mary. Sam's worried about you. So am I.
Jen, could you give us a couple of minutes?
Certainly.
Sorry, Jen.
No problem. But sing out WPL if he gives you any trouble.
Jan Lamont, Willie's sparring partner, was a cop. Headed a small squad dealing with violence to women. She'd come out west from Montreal after a messy love affair. From what I'd heard, the other cops didn't like her much. Said she took too many chances. The gossip mills around the courthouse were more direct. They claimed she was a lesbian, but insisted it didn't matter. Even gossips have to be politically correct.
I don't appreciate this.
Look, I came to offer you a ride home, not start an argument. But don't blame me for wondering what's going on with you.
Things were getting too serious, too fast.
Well, so talk to me about it.
I want to back off a bit. At least till I can sort out a few personal things. I'll explain later. And tell Sam not to wait supper.
I went back to Sam's place feeling like a pizza delivery boy with the wrong order. Sam was in the apartment he shared with Willie over the office. I gave him the news, then joined him for some scrambled eggs. Willie showed up about a half hour later. Detective Lamont was with her.
Sorry, Willie.
Scrambled eggs can't compete with kickboxing, I suppose.
This is Detective Lamont. We've met.
Yes, yes. Last month, your testimony got my client an extra 6 months behind bars.
Please, Sam, let's not get sidetracked here. There's something I wanted to handle myself, but now I realize the secrecy is causing almost as much flack as the problem.
What problem?
Last week at the courthouse, WP found this videotape in her briefcase.
Huh? Hey, look. Look at that. That woman. Was that you, Willie?
Yes.
Walking up how to the courthouse?
Listen.
Good morning, WP Green. I am your North Rhode Island admirer. Yes, look, now you pass me by without notice. I guess we're all strangers in the big city, aren't we? Even someone as lovely as you has no way of knowing the person who loves her most. For now, I have to be satisfied with video souvenirs like these. Until the time is right.
Look, there you are having coffee at Mozart's Cafe near the courthouse. He couldn't have been more than three tables away.
Oh, that's right.
Leo, fill my dreams and need you waking hours. Someday soon I will reveal myself to you.
Oh, wow.
And don't fear that moment. Now, welcome it with compassion and no warm welcome to you. Until then, dear lady, I will content myself with watching you from afar.
Good God, it's a week? You had this tape a week and you kept us in the dark?
I'm sorry, Sam.
We didn't tell you because sometimes men gossip about such things.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
We didn't want to set loose the cats and scare our pigeon.
But that guy is an obvious nutcase.
Flynn, that guy may even be a woman.
What?
There's no way to tell.
Well, the stalker isn't using his own voice. I mean, it's an electronic voice box.
Exactly. This is a clever bastard. So we're checking the hospitals and the medical supply stores.
Well, no fingerprints on the cassette?
Mm-mm. Clean.
No one seen around Willie's briefcase?
No one in particular.
Well, could it have been one of the guys at the courthouse? Some of them have a pretty bizarre sense of humor.
We're checking.
Well, clever or not, this character sounds like serious trouble to me, and I want to be kept advised on everything you're doing to put him away.
Do you notice anyone watching you, Willie?
Oh, I don't know. There was a man at Mozart's about a week ago.
Uh-huh.
Gray beard, thick glasses.
Maybe a disguise.
But he didn't follow me, and I never saw him again. I don't think he was the one.
A lot of characters hang out around Robson between the courthouse and the art gallery.
And 99% of them are harmless. So why did this creep with the video camera target me?
He's probably a control freak. Might have been attracted to your work in the courtroom. Watched you from the visitor's section. Lawyers have power over other people's lives, and maybe he's trying to tap into that.
No. Scores of visitors come to the courthouse every day. It's just another dead end. Now, there must be something more practical that we can do.
Yes, there is. The first thing we do is step up the surveillance on WP.
Right.
And we'll need some help checking out her contacts, people she knows in the courthouse, office contacts, casual acquaintances.
You got it.
But business as usual during the day. I'm not having this warped bastard setting my agenda.
Good attitude. But lock your doors. I'll have a police car drive by during the night, and I'll hang around myself for a while. Just in case.
Oh, thanks. You're a friend.
Sam agreed that I should work on the case full time. So I brought over a fold-out cot, set it up in the office. That way I could block any intruder trying to get to the second floor. I was in the storeroom looking for an extra desk lamp when I heard Willie and Jan coming down the stairs.
Okay, you're driving me, but this is personal business. You understand that?
Afraid to have me meet your friend?
I'd be happier to be left on my own. It's the airport. What could happen, for God's sake?
Anything could happen. And you know it.
Now, what the hell was that all about? Why the airport at this time of night? This whole thing was driving me nuts. I don't know whether it was lovesickness or just a flood of morbid curiosity that overwhelmed me. But the next thing I knew, I was in Sam's Volvo speeding over the Arthur Lang Bridge toward Vancouver Airport. I caught up to Willie in the arrivals level, walking through the milling crowd searching for someone. She was obviously late. Jan Lamont was nowhere in view. Suddenly, Willie caught sight of a man with a black bag. He was just coming back into the luggage pickup area.
Troy, over here. Sorry I'm late.
Lights got in early. Wasn't sure you'd be here. I was looking for a phone. God, you look great.
Thanks.
They hadn't seen me yet in the crowd. Whoever this Troy was, he was something special to Willie. He wasn't what you'd really call handsome. Trendy, maybe. Short dark hair, a warm smile, casually dressed in an expensive leather bomber jacket and slacks. Traveled a lot, judging from the baggage claim strips on his luggage.
Lynn!
Oh, God. You scared the hell out of me.
Good. Now you've got some explaining to do.
What?
Come on.
No,
come on.
No.
Hey,
no.
WP, look what I found.
What idea was this, Flynn?
Well, it wasn't really... Sam wondered if...
Damn it, I'm meeting a friend, that's all.
Troy Martin. Used to work with WP in Toronto. And you are?
Flynn. Sam Green's D.I.
Detective Lamont, Vancouver Police.
Police? I don't understand.
Someone's stalking WP.
What?
Oh, nothing serious. Just a videotape. He might have followed me a couple of times.
That sounds serious to me. Can I do anything? Maybe I could book you into my hotel. Adjoining rooms or something.
I think we've got things under control.
I suppose you want me to stay out of the way until you nail the SOB.
Yeah, that would help.
Oh, we could still meet for dinner. And we can drive you to the hotel.
It might be better if I pick up a U-drive. Huh? And that way, if you need me in a hurry, I'll have transportation. What do you think, Detective?
Yeah, good idea. You can go back with Flynn, WP.
Yeah,
I'm going to check in at the office and book off.
I'm terribly sorry about this, Troy.
Hey, I'm here for 3 days. And you know how business meetings bore me. We'll have time to talk.
You're staying at the Hyatt?
That's right.
Phone me tomorrow.
I will.
Before you go, Mr. Martin.
Yes?
Could I see your airline ticket?
Airline ticket? Jan, I can vouch for him. What the hell's got into
it's
you?
It's just routine.
There's no problem. Here we are. Toronto to Vancouver and return.
Air Canada, flight 902. Today's day.
Yes, you have good eyes. I can never read the carbon copy. Is that all?
Yeah, I think so. Have a good visit.
Oh, I can't believe she'd do something like that. Did you see the way people looked at us? My God, what must Troy think?
What must Troy think? Is that all that's bothering you? This is the guy who dumped you after your little affair in Toronto. Now, he whistles, and you come running.
It's not like that.
No.
We talked on the phone, that's all. He's apologized.
Oh, well, good for him.
Look, Flynn, I have special feelings for you. Nothing can change that. But my life's pretty mixed up right now. You've got to cut me some slack so I can work it out.
Yeah, well, then... stop treating me like I'm from another planet.
Hi, you're back. Good.
Yeah, I should have checked with you before I took the car. Sorry. I topped up the gas tank.
That's not important. Now, listen, Rick.
I don't want another argument, Uncle Sam. Being hunted down, spied on, and insulted is enough for one night. I'm going to bed.
Well, maybe you'd better look at this first.
Another videotape.
Shoved in the mailbox a few minutes ago. Went to the door and went to the door.
Let me have it.
Well,
no, I want to see it.
Okay. It's up to you.
God, I can hear him breathing.
Look at that, it's your bedroom.
Telephoto lens.
Oh,
grainy.
God.
Must have been taken from somewhere up the slope.
Tuesday night, I just washed my hair, then I lay down on the bed to read.
Hello, oh. WB.
God.
Do you like what you see? I do. But I'm not very happy about your reaction to my first video message. Were those cop cars dropping by? Not a good idea. As you can see, they can't stop me. The time for us is getting closer. Until then, I wish you sweet dreams. Here's looking at you, kid.
Oh, God.
Sweet dreams to you, creep. It's so humiliating.
No. Hang on, Willie. Don't let him get you down.
Yeah, that's what he wants.
You're right. He wants me to star in his own personal woman is victim movie. Well, if that's the game he's playing, he's in for a hell of a rude awakening.
Well, now, that's the spirit.
Next morning, I got a fix on the general area where the stalker could have seen into Willie's bedroom. Nothing very precise. Two or three condos, maybe, or the street itself. They were all up the slope from Sam's. I had talked to the supers in a couple of places and was approaching the third when I ran into unexpected company darting out the front door. Tommy Randall, the bicycle courier. Only this time, he wasn't in uniform.
Flynn, hey, what are you doing up here?
Oh, looking around.
For what?
You got a camcorder.
A video camera? What would I want with that?
Oh, I don't know, maybe to take pictures of your friends?
Friends? What are you talking about?
You're sweating, Tommy. Why are you so nervous?
I'm not nervous. I'm just in a hurry. It's my day off, all right? I get things to do.
Hey, wait a minute. You once told me you had an apartment in the West End. What are you doing over here?
Look, Flynn, I cut some corners. You know, run errands for bookies, things like that, all right? But I don't rip off cameras.
Now, how about using one to harass someone who trusts you?
What, are you talking about Miss Green?
Yeah, you know it, you little ferret. All the time she's been coaching you, you've been getting ideas.
What?
But how do you get her to cozy up to you? You scare the hell out of her with your homemade stalker videos.
Stalker videos?
Yeah.
You're sick, man. You're out of your mind.
Wait a minute. You're going to talk to the cops.
I'll blow it out your ear, crazy man.
Okay, so I went a little over the top with Tommy. But I knew he had a crush on Willie, and no matter what he said, the video stunt was right up his alley. I left a phone message about Tommy on Jan Lamont's machine, then continued checking the slope above Sam's. No luck. I packed it in about 2 p.m. and went back to the office. Parked in front was a blue Pontiac rental. Troy Martin. That's all I needed. As I came in, Sam indicated Willie and her ex-boyfriend were having a private chat upstairs.
You know, I can't believe how right this feels. You and I, together again like this.
Mm-hmm. Troy, I didn't agree to see you to start things over. You have to understand that. There's someone else in my life, and he's very important to me.
Lynn.
Yes.
He's a very lucky man.
Look, you and I got our signals crossed. I probably expected too much out of the relationship. So let's chalk it up to experience and part friends, okay?
That's very generous, considering how I treated you.
How are things in Toronto?
Well, the firm's in a bit of a mess, actually. Oh? Remember the Calmar deal?
Mm-hmm.
There's a securities investigation.
Hmm. Are you implicated?
Me? Of course not. Not even named to appear. I took your advice and got out of the deal right after you left town.
Am I likely to be subpoenaed?
I don't think it'll come to that. No, I'm sure it won't.
It's not that I have anything to hide. But, Troy, if I am subpoenaed, I'd have to tell what I know.
Well, of course. Hey, I'm sorry I brought up the subject. You've got enough on your mind these days.
Yeah, you got that right. Another cappuccino?
Sam Green and Associates, Flynn speaking.
This is Jan Lamont.
Oh, Jan.
Hey, thanks for the second video. Hey, your friend's a real peeping Tommy, isn't he?
Oh, the Randall kid, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's gone to ground, I'm afraid.
Well, don't worry, we'll pick him up. In the meantime, I'm on to something else. Can we compare notes?
Well, sure, when?
Well, not right away. I've got to tie up some loose ends. How about tonight? 10 o'clock, your boat?
Uh-huh.
And get some scotch. We may have something to celebrate.
It was getting foggy when I walked down to the marina. I was still puzzled about Jan's phone call. Why compare notes with me? I was about 20 feet from the Blarney boy when I saw it. A dark object floating face down in the water near the dock. I was able to roll the body out of the water as her head lolled back against the walkway. I saw the bloody bruise on her forehead. It was Detective Lamont.
Want your statement right away, Flynn. I'll be with a forensic team going over her car.
Yeah, okay, Dylan, yeah.
I'll be right there. I have to get something from my boat. Don't be too long.
Yes.
She was a loner. Kept everything to herself.
I was sick about what happened to Jan Lamont. But this wasn't the time to do penance for misjudging her. I knew Willie was safe with Sam and a uniformed cop Jan had assigned. So I decided to sort out my only lead, an airline baggage tag I found clutched in Jan's hand.
Canadian Airlines, Steve Ward speaking.
Yeah, hi, Steve, it's Flynn. Look, I got a question.
If this is about discount fares to Disneyland, forget it.
No, Steve, this is a very important favor. I have a baggage stub, YVR2547, your company. I need the name of the passenger and the date of flight.
Just a sec. It's in the computer.
Okay.
YVR2547. The name's Robert Brown, Cajun Flight 411 on the 5th. He loses bag.
I'll explain later. Thanks, Steve.
No problem, Flynn.
Robert Brown, Flight 411 on the 5th. Who was he? And why was she looking for him? It didn't connect. Baggage tags. Where did I see the baggage tags? Right. When I was with Jan at the airport. Troy Martin's bag. She checked the ticket, but she didn't look at the tags. So she got into his hotel room somehow, checked out the tag like I did, and made the connection. She found out Troy Martin flew in under an assumed name a week before we saw him at the airport? That would screw up his alibi. Ah, hell, this was ridiculous. Where was the proof?
Flynn? Hey, Flynn!
What are you doing here, Sam?
Well, some cop phoned, said you wanted to see me. Said they'd caught the stalker.
Damn it. What about the uniform back at the office?
I went back to the station, I guess.
What's wrong?
Flynn? What's wrong?
Come on, Willie, answer. Where was she when you left?
Well, in her room upstairs. Why?
The line's dead. It's a setup.
Back already, Sam? Did you identify... Troy, what are you doing up here?
I had to do it, WP. I didn't want to, but she was getting too close.
Too close? What are you talking about?
That detective friend of yours, Jan Lamont. I had to kill her.
Oh, my God.
You have to understand. It's all about the Kalmar deal. I lied to you. I did defraud the company. I'm as guilty as sin.
Troy.
But I can't let my father know.
Troy.
He's senior partner of the law firm. It will ruin him.
Take it easy. You have to turn yourself in to the police.
Oh, yes. You'd like that, wouldn't you? And here I was hoping you'd say for my sake you wouldn't testify. I could have just gone away. The stalker wouldn't have needed to...
You're the stalker.
But you know too much, don't you?
Stay away from me!
I was almost winded by the time I reached the top of the stairs and charged into Willie's room. And there was Troy, wild-eyed and menacing as he drew tight a scarf around Willie's neck. She fought to free herself, but he was too strong for her. Without thinking, I threw myself into the battle and was deflected into a chest of drawers. But for a moment, Troy was distracted, and he moved away from Willie. Her kick came out of nowhere and caught him on the side of the head.
That was too close.
Tell me about it.
It's a nice move.
Yeah. Jan taught me. He said he killed her. Is that true?
Yeah, but I'm afraid so. I should have been on to him faster.
Oh, God, what about me? He was conning me all over again. Just like the last time.
It's okay. Willie! Willie! Please tell me you're all right.
She's yeah. Okay, Sam.
She's gonna be fine.
Oh, thank God.
After Jan's funeral, Willie and I took off for a week on the Barney Boy. We had a lot of healing to do. I told her how crazy jealous I'd been about Troy and Tommy, even Jan Lamont. She cried a lot over her lost friend and talked about her disastrous record in dating unfaithful men. Somehow, our confessions helped draw us closer together.
You've just heard Flynn, Part 6, The Stalker, written by Lyle and Barbara Brown, starring Boyd Norman as Flynn, Colleen Winton as Willie, and Robert Clothier as Sam. Special guest Therese Champagne played Chad, with Tracy Olson as Troy. You also heard Matt Hill as Tommy, Ruby Truly as Mrs. Wong, and John Blackwell Destry as Delaney. The recording engineer was Chris Cutress, with sound effects by Joe Silva. The production assistants, Dagmar Katanka and Loretta Joyce. Music for Flynn is composed by Alan Cranny, and the series script consultant is James W. Nichol. Flynn is produced and directed in Vancouver by Don Kowalczuk, and the series executive producer is Bill Howell.